Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we've talked a lot on this program about John 10:10. Jesus said the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I love in the very next breath, Jesus said, but I have come so that you may have hope and have it abundantly, have life to the full. And today we're going to be talking with a gentleman that he's experienced the deepest of the bottom and deep despair, and he's been able to enjoy peace and sobriety. And one of the things that people, a lot of times the enemy, you know, Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding where he turned the water into wine. And so, you know, alcohol, like a lot of things in life, can be used for both good and bad. And yet, you're going to hear a story of a gentleman today that is going to share how what, you know, just start out as casual drinking became an issue in his life. But praise God, he's got the victory over that, approaching 3 years of sobriety. So first of all, I just want to thank him for being willing to share his story of hope. Wes Lancaster. Wes, thanks for being here today, buddy.
Thank you, Greg. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, he's got a great voice. He is PA announcer for many years, LCA football, so you may even recognize that voice from attending some of their games over the year. But you're a Lexington guy. Talked about, just give us a little background. I know it, but tell people kind of maybe a little bit about your family, where you went to high school,
sure,
all that good stuff.
Sure. Born and raised in Lexington. Went to Henry Clay. Graduated from there in 91. Played football. Left there and went to graduated and went to Western for a year. I had a great time in Bowling Green. Not a lot of classes.
Your social calendar was good.
It was always full. Yes, and I came home and went to work for the family business. My wife and I actually we met at an early age as well, and got married in 94. I started working for the family business in spring of 92, and got married in 94. We have two. We say children or kids. They're older. They're 23 and 19. So they've gotten old on us quick. But work here in Lexington, and like as you said, I was the PA announcer for LCA. Both of our kids graduated from there. We're members at Southland Christian Church, and love that place and the people there. And things are good. I can't complain. Things are going well.
Well, you've got a great story to share, and I appreciate you willing to do that. Your moment of faith, you're like me. You were baptized when you were a little bit younger, and which is great, by a guy that I know a lot of people in Central Kentucky know and love, Brewster McLeod.
Yes, I was 10 years old. Got baptized in the old sanctuary, and back, of course, when Wayne Smith was around there, and my dad was a deacon and an elder in that church up until his death in 2011. And so we've been involved in that church for a long time.
And you were very active in it. I mean, you know, from us talking beforehand, I mean, you were involved in a lot of the youth things, stuff like that. Is that correct?
Yes. If there was a camp, Bluegrass Christian Camp, if there was a camp in the summer for my age group or my grade, I was there. I loved it. I couldn't get there early enough, and I didn't want to leave. And I had a lot of friends there. I remember there was a guy there once told us there's a time to play and there's a time to pray. And we did a lot of playing, but we did our share of praying as well. And I can still hear that bell going off at the bottom of the hill there now. So, a lot of events and things, anything the church had, we were there. Growing up, and Southland's been a big part of our life and our family's life. Yeah,
it is. It's a wonderful place, a wonderful church. Guy doing a lot of great things there. Wayne Smith, one of my heroes, who I quote a lot on this program. But so then, as a freshman, you went to Morton Middle School, and obviously that's kind of the age you usually, for most of us, I say obviously, usually, you know, where you start to have to kind of deal with drugs and alcohol. Right. And did you find that to be true? It's your case too?
Absolutely. I was, I would say even in my freshman year, of course, back then, it was a junior high, so it was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade at Morton, I was anti-alcohol and drugs. I didn't I had no interest in it. I was against it almost. There were guys that I knew and played sports with that were experimenting and doing those things, and I really look back on that now, and I see that it was more of a if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing for me. And I showed my true self, as I look back on it now, as being a follower. And so my first drink that I took, I was 15, and I was not, I wouldn't say an awkward teenager, but I was shy, I was kind of reserved, and that alcohol, that first night of drinking changed me. I became a different person when I was drinking. I was more social. I was more open. I wasn't timid. I found that there was relief in that for me. And I as years went on, it just progressed and went through high school, and of course went down to Western, and once I came back and came home and started to go to work. Of course, we had our first child in 95, still drinking, but it as the years went on, and I mentioned this before, I started at 15, and it was 28 years of drinking and getting away from priorities. Now, I still was the Little League coach, and I still went to work every day, and I still did what I was supposed to do, and I showed up, but man, the alcohol was always on my mind, and it was a big part of my daily routine, weekly routine. The weekends were big for me, Friday night, Saturday night, but then that turned into Sunday, Monday, and then I'd skip a day, and Wednesday, then skip a day, and Friday, and if I skipped time, I'd make up for it. Also, you know, I would tell myself that I deserved it just by simple tasks of doing things around the house. I would, Saturday morning, I'd cut the grass, I'd clean the garage, I'd make the beds, I'd do laundry, I'd do the dishes, and by about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd say, you know what, I deserve some drinks. And I would use that in my head to justify it, that it was okay. I found a bar back in probably 05 that I started to frequent. They were also a package store, so I could sit there and drink and take it home with me as well. I found that to be very convenient.
yeah. That's the ultimate convenience store.
It
there,
was,
right?
Man. It was, and I never didn't have it around. It was either at home somewhere hidden or in my car, you know.
So let me ask you, so it starts out, you know, middle school. I mean, did you go through different types of alcohol? Did you start with beer? Did you start with liquor? Did explain to me, some people, you know, I know kind of wonder that.
Sure, I drank beer mainly when I first started to drink, and that was it. I had found that it was harder for me to conceal how much I had been drinking when you've got, you know, a pile of 15 to 30 cans laying around, and
so that was normal for you, at least 15
I'd
cans of beer a day, no biggie. That's just what you did.
I started drinking alcoholically in my late teens. I would drink to get drunk. There was no, you know, I know that if I couldn't not start, and once I did start, I couldn't stop, then I had a problem, and that was the case. I knew that when it was there, I would go to say someone's house, and we'd have a dinner party or something. They would offer me, say, I've got some beer in the fridge. If you'd like one, go ahead. I'd open the fridge. I'd see that he had like 6 or 7 in there, but there's a room full of 10 people, and that's all he had. I wouldn't even drink it. It was a waste of my time. I couldn't drink like I wanted to in front of certain people, so I just wouldn't drink. Once I found people that drank like I did, I latched onto them, and because they looked at it like it was normal, just like I did.
So that's really normal. I mean, not normal. I'm sorry. Interesting that you say that. That, you know, you go to somebody's house and you see, you know, they've just got six or seven. So I would stereotype. I've had struggles in my own life, but not with alcohol. But, you know, I would think, well, man, you're going to make sure you get at least five of those seven. But you're like, that's not even worth my time. No. So you wouldn't even get started. That's interesting.
I see people that'll take, for example, you take a six pack of beer on a little, like a half day fishing trip or something,
right.
And they'll come back with two or three. I'd never understood that. That wasn't me. You know, chances are if we couldn't get a big enough cooler on the boat, I just wouldn't go. You know, everything was based around, you know, that next drink for me. And there was a relief, again, looking for that relief, and I'm going to find that relief. Is that first drink, and it consumed me. It totally took over my thinking and my daily routines with my family and my work. It became number one. I grew up with, if you had a list of one through three, you know, you go God, family, business, or whatever, like, you know, whatever your three might be. And then it became business, family, God, and then it became alcohol got thrown in. So it was alcohol, business, family, and God was last or fourth or fifth, and then God and family and business pretty much just got off the list completely. And
you know, and nobody intends for it to happen. I mean, you know, first start having your drinks. I mean, you never dreamed you'd wind up wanting 15 beers minimum a day, did you?
No, I grew up in a non-drinking home. You know, I look back on some things that happened to me when I was a teenager and events that occurred. You know, everybody goes through these things. But for me, I just reacted to it differently. And that relief was there, that feeling of, okay, now I'm better. And I got to the point where I had to find that relief and find that somewhere else.
Well, we're going to be talking about that definitely tomorrow in our program. I guess the thing I would ask you, Wes, I mean, you know, you love sports. I do, football especially, and basketball and things. Your daughter, a great tennis player, and yet, you know, when we watch these sporting events on TV, there's always alcohol commercials, and it just looks like you're really cool and having fun. Nobody tells you that this could become an addiction or wreck your family, possibly your career. You don't see any of that in the commercials, do you?
No, they don't. They won't promote that part of it or even bring it up. It's you know, the thing that at the end of the commercials it says, "Please drink responsibly." Well, there's a lot of people out there that can do that. And I tip my hat to them. I know people that way. I hang out with people that way, and that's great. They to be able to do that and not drink alcoholically. That's great for them. I never could do it.
All right. Well, we've been talking with Wes Lancaster, sharing his story about how, like a lot of kids, myself included, sometime in their teenage years, try alcohol. Unfortunately, his body really liked it, and he found it as an outlet for peace and to numb pain. And there's lots of different things people use, but alcohol happened to be his drug of choice, and started to have some consequences for that. So I hope you'll tune in tomorrow. If you know somebody that's struggling with any type of addiction, have them join us tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Wes Lancaster on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.